Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As Christians, we really live in two worlds. We live in the temporal and the eternal, simultaneously. What that means is we live with a lot of tension. The tension between the now and the not yet. The tension between what we are and what we will become. And in many ways, that's a tension that is really unique to Christians. When we were baptized into Christ, we were baptized into his death. We died with Christ. The old nature that we inherited from Adam was put to death. And because we were united together with Christ in a death like his, we were also united with him in a resurrection like his. We've been made new. We've been given a new nature. Later on in our text, Paul writes that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. That's who we are in Christ. That's the promise of God that we have received and cling to by faith in Christ. We are blood-bought children of God. He knows us by name. He has prepared a place for us at his table and in his house, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That is our eternal reality. That's our future, and it's certain and sure. But as Paul writes in chapter 4, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. Maybe many of you, like me, have felt hard-pressed or perplexed or persecuted or struck down at different times in this past year and a half. Maybe you're feeling some of that right now. That's the tension. We know who we are in Christ. We know whose we are in Christ. We know that we have an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands, yet we still live here in this fallen and broken world. We still live in this earthly tent that is passing away. And so we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, to be clothed in the full reality of who we are in Christ. We long for that because then pain and suffering will disappear. The trials and troubles that comprise our life in this sin-filled, broken world will all be over. And we will finally experience the fullness of the peace of God that has been given to us through the forgiveness of our sin. And the older we get, the greater the longing becomes to see that day. But as Paul writes, there's another reason why we groan and are burdened. We groan and are burdened because we don't wish to be unclothed. We don't want to be found naked. And that's a reference really to the Garden of Eden and the consequence that both Adam and Eve experienced after they ate the forbidden fruit. They realized that they were naked, that their very nature had been changed, and they tried to cover their nakedness with fig leaves. They were no longer good. They were no longer at peace with God, as evidenced by their reaction when they heard the sound of God walking in the garden. They hid. We groan and are burdened because that old nature is still a part of who we are. We are saint and sinner at the same time. And the sin in us and at work in the world is at work to separate us from God, to unclothe us. And really, whenever we sin, it exposes us. We become naked. And that nakedness won't be covered, can't be covered, no matter how many people I can get to say to me that I'm okay. That's how our old sinful nature tries to cover itself. It begins with the assertion that we all are really good people after all. And there is nothing wrong with who I am or the choices I make. Those are the fig leaves that our old sinful nature gathers together to try to cover our nakedness before God and others. And while at times that may seem like a good and reasonable solution, it is simply a lie. Sin is at work to strip me, to make me naked, to keep me a prisoner of its power and separate me from God. And nothing I do and nothing anyone says, no amount of I'm okay and you're okay is going to change that. And so I groan under that burden. I hate the old Adam. For that part of me, I'm not comfortable with that. I hate that part of me that is still sin-filled. And really, I do long for that day when I don't have to deal with that. Because it is a constant pain in parts of my body that I won't mention this morning. Yeah, a real pain in the neck. Sin is still at work in me. When I look at my old sinful nature in the mirror of God's law, I see nothing good. Nothing. I'm unclothed. I'm naked. And the fig leaves offered by the world and applauded by the old Adam who is still at work in me can't cover that nakedness. It can't lift that burden. There's only one solution that can lift that burden, that can cover my nakedness, that can free me from sin's chains that seek to bind me. That solution is the righteousness of Christ. In Christ, a great exchange has taken place. He took our sinful nature upon himself so that he could give us his righteousness in its place. He became sin for us so that we could become the righteousness of God in him. In baptism, we died with Christ. Our old nature was put to death so that we could be raised to new life with Christ. We have, as Paul says, been made new. We have been covered in Christ's righteous robes. So when the sin at work in us and in the world seeks to unclothe us, the new man in us returns to the cross, where Jesus poured out his blood to set us free from the prison of sin. We come here. We come here at God's invitation to confess our sin. Because when you come into the presence of the holy, that's really the only choice you have, is simply confess. This is who I am. Come in naked. At God's invitation, we come. We confess our nakedness so that God, by his word of absolution, by his word of forgiveness, can keep us clothed in his righteous robes. He comes to proclaim to us that we are his forgiven children, that we have a seat at his table and a room in his house. In Christ, he has raised us from death and sin and given us new life in him. By that absolution, God lifts the burden of our sin from us, so that we can walk again in the freedom that is ours in Christ and the forgiveness of sin that is his gift to each of us. We have been reconciled to God, restored to Him, and to the relationship that Adam and Eve enjoyed with God before they sinned. That's the treasure that we carry in these earthly tents. That's the hope that is ours through the forgiveness of sin. The hope that is confirmed by Jesus' invitation to join Him at His table and to be covered once again in His righteous robes. Then, with hope restored, we are sent out to share that hope with others, to speak of God's work done to rescue us from the power of sin, to speak of God's work done to cover our nakedness, to lift the burden from us, to prove ourselves worthy to God, that we might live in the peace that comes through the forgiveness of sin. In Christ, the mortal, our old nature, has been swallowed up by life. And we have been given the Spirit as a guarantee of what will come. So as we live in this world, as we groan under the burden of this earthly tent that is passing away, we rejoice in the hope that is ours in Christ. We rejoice in the promises of God made yes in Christ. We are forgiven. We have been made new. We have an eternal dwelling, a place in God's house, and the Holy Spirit, who we received in baptism and now lives in us, is the deposit given by God, is the evidence of God's commitment to us to bring to completion in our flesh all that is ours now by faith in Christ. So, as we live in the tension between the now and not yet, we cling to the hope that is ours in Christ and the resurrection to new life that is ours in Him. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus this day and forevermore. Amen.